You're listening to KCRW. I'm Larry Perel. So now that the Pfizer coronavirus vaccine is fully approved by the FDA, more government entities and private businesses are moving to require their workers be fully vaccinated. In the city of LA, a vaccine mandate is currently in motion for city workers, and LA County Board of Supervisors Chair Hilda Solis is publicly urging private businesses to require vaccination for their employees. But almost all of these vaccine mandates come with one caveat. You don't have to get vaccinated if you have a religious reason. We know some Cal State Chico students already tried to dodge the vaccine requirement, citing Bible verses in their exemption applications. So, just how far can a religious exemption go? Joseph Blankholm is a professor of religious studies at UC Santa Barbara, and he joins us today to talk more about this. Hi, Professor Blankholm. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being with us. How impactful is it that so many of these mandates include religious exemptions?
So since the processes are so different, it's hard to say for sure, but that there are religious exemptions for COVID vaccinations matters. It's not something that everyone offers for other vaccinations like measles, mumps, and rubella. And so it's potentially very significant.
So in your knowledge, is there any denomination of Christianity, including fundamentalists, whose teachings oppose immunization?
I don't know of a doctrine among evangelical Christians that clearly would allow them to not get vaccinated. That said, I know that there are pastors in the United States who have issued letters saying that it puts their parishioners into a morally compromising position. Whether or not that's going to hold up in courts is a question that it's going to take a long time to really know the answer to.
So how do these religious exemptions work? I mean, how do you even prove that?
It'll rest so much importance on particular phrases. And the phrase that you need to know here is sincerely held. So is the religious belief sincerely held? And really, when the courts think about it, they have a really practical way they approach it. They think about sincerity as consistency, consistency of belief, consistency of behavior. So can they look at points in the past and say, yeah, this person is doing this then, this person is doing this now. And of course, it gets a lot more complicated than that. But sincerity is really the main measure here.
But how does that work? I mean, are people going to look at whether someone goes to church every Sunday, who they've married? I mean, how do they sort of assess whether that sincerely held belief is valid?
This question of assessment is one that I think is going to be so important going forward. Because let's say you're a small employer. Are you really going to go investigate and do research and in some ways become a theologian to ask yourself whether this person is sincere? Are you going to investigate it on the level of an insurance claim? I think the answer is, in most cases, no. So then that's putting institutions, large and small, into this position of needing to decide whether a belief is sincerely held. It's hard for the courts to do. It's going to be hard for the individuals who are assessing whether or not these exemptions are valid.
So sincerely held belief aside, I mean, it seems like anyone really can submit a religious exemption. Is that right?
At this stage, that's probably a pretty good assessment. As some of these things get worked out in the courts and in public in various ways, we may see that religious exemptions get eliminated under certain circumstances, and we may see that they get expanded.
Professor Blankholm, if cases are brought to court and people fight this, I mean, where do you see this sort of ending up, sort of in a big picture context?
The law is a strange thing in that it's not one thing. There's federal law, there's state law, there are obviously local laws, and even more thinking about federal law, in each different district appeals court, they are making precedent for that district. And so we really have a hodgepodge of contradictory law in the United States. And so if a case makes it through and doesn't make it all the way to the Supreme Court, which obviously the vast majority of cases don't, it's only going to merely apply to that local area. And that's important to realize too, is as this happens in different places throughout the country, we're going to have different outcomes.
How much bearing do you think it's going to be, you know, with religious leaders? Pope Francis, for instance, has come out publicly to encourage vaccination, and the Archdiocese of LA, San Diego as well, have also said they would not be handing out vaccine exemption letters. Do you think that message will resonate with other religious institutions?
Yeah, I think it matters a lot. It's a good observation because it makes it harder for people in those faiths to make the claim of their having a sincerely held religious belief. And it will dissuade them from having the confidence to make that claim.
Joseph Blankholm is a religious studies professor at UC Santa Barbara. Professor Blankholm, thanks so much for coming on. We appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you for having me.